So bow with me, Heavenly Father. We thank you. We come to worship. We honor you, Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior, our great High Priest, King, soon to return. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, we come to worship you today. We come worshiping in spirit and in truth. Forgive us of our sins. We offer these words to you in song and in spoken word. We ask that you would receive them. We come today to worship. We thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. We thank you for life in Jesus. We worship you today. We honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you. I'm Pastor Mike. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 1. Find your place in John chapter 1. Merry Christmas. Good to see all of you. If you're a guest with us today, here with family, we're honored to have you, First Baptist Church. God bless you. And we pray that you would have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. We've been speaking these last few weeks. I've been sharing a little bit about Jesus as the light of the world. We focused on several very important truths about why it is that Jesus is the light of the world and why the Bible and prophecy and all the rest speak so much of Jesus in this way. So today I want to conclude my thoughts on this subject by talking to you about Jesus Christ and how he enlightens the mind. John chapter 1, John does not begin his gospel, his story of Jesus in the same way as we've read in the other gospels, especially Matthew and Luke, as they describe in detail the birth of Jesus. John takes another approach by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He speaks both of Jesus as being fully God and fully man. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's word, and we'll read together these words. The focal verse will be verse 9, which is on the screen, but I'm going to go back and read beginning in verse number 1. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Now our focus for today, verse number 9. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray today that during this Christmas season we might understand Lord Jesus as the true light who came into this world bringing light. Lord, we pray that you might help us to understand the importance of this truth. Help us to understand the power of the Holy Spirit sent to us to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus into our minds so that we might really see and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for those who are here today who have darkened and closed minds, who have so far rebelled and rejected God in their minds and will not be saved. I pray that today the Holy Spirit of God will take the truth of God and begin to shine the light, the divine light of Jesus Christ into their minds. And how I pray for the rest of us who come here today that we might worship and honor and glorify you for the illumination that we have received in our minds so that we might know God, believe in the Lord Jesus, and grow in our spiritual life. Bless your word now as we read it, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I also would like for you, while you have your Bibles open, to look back. You're right there by it in John chapter 1. If you'll go back to Luke, the last chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 24, Jesus says these words in Luke 24, just before he ascends to heaven. Please notice in Luke 24, 44, now he said to his disciples, "These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Now, verse 45 is very important. I want you to keep it in your mind because I'll refer to it back and forth during my comments. "Then he," that is Jesus, "opened their minds to understand the scriptures." He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. In John 1:9, the true light, Jesus came into the world. That's his announcement of Christmas, John's announcement. The true light, Jesus Christ, he came into the world, born in a manger. He became one of us. But he came here into the world and he enlightens every man. Opening the mind, enlightening every man. These are both words that have to do with the mind. And they remind me of the song most of us have memorized because it's been sung so much in our life, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." That's it. That's the theme of what I want to try to bring home to our hearts and minds today as we consider this very, very important truth. The truth of how Jesus Christ supernaturally illuminates our minds so that we might understand and be saved and so that we might understand and grow in our spiritual life. Look, this supernatural experience that I'm talking about has been true in the life of every believer in this room. You may not have understood it, nor do I. It's a profound mystery. But we talk today about the supernatural work that takes place that leads to salvation in Jesus Christ. This one, why would Jesus have to come to enlighten every man? Because man is dark in his mind without Jesus Christ. The person who does not know Jesus has no light in their mind, the Bible teaches us. They live in darkness, a closed mind, rebellious toward God, self-centered in all of their thinking, dark and terrorized by fears of all kinds and gripped by emotions of all kinds, dark minds, closed minds, rebellious minds, terrorized minds. That's why Jesus had to come to enlighten minds, because sin brings darkness to our minds and an inability to understand spiritual truth. That's why Jesus had to continue to open the minds of his own disciples who chose to follow him. This is the supernatural work that goes on even after you're saved. So I'm going to use some phrases today. Last week we talked about Simeon's words as he declared that Jesus, in Luke 2, if you were here with us, was a light of revelation to the Gentiles. I mentioned this to you last week. I only repeat it because I want you to understand this. Information is not revelation. Information, knowing things about your Bible, coming, studying it, learning it all, and all the rest is good. And there are a lot of people who've studied the Bible just like a textbook. But information isn't revelation. It takes revelation. It takes God opening these words beyond just the words and the knowledge that brings us to salvation. So we talked a lot about this. I'm on this theme of Jesus as the light, and I'm spending these days on purpose to remind all of us that the light of the Lord Jesus comes, and he comes into this world to enlighten every man, to open dark minds with the light of the truth about God, the truth about Jesus, and the truth about how to live for God. I once was blind, but now I see. I want you to see three things this morning. I'll make three comments from these words, especially in verse number 9 of John 1. First of all, Jesus Christ supernaturally opens the heart and mind to, and this is very close to what I talked about last week, but I want to continue this theme. Jesus Christ comes to enlighten every man. What does he do? He opens our heart. Our heart is made up of our will and our emotions. He opens up our will and our emotions, and he opens up our mind to understand God's truth. Without this supernatural work that God does, Jesus illustrates it here, John declares it here, that he comes to enlighten every man, we cannot be saved. I would say it this way to you. Illumination leads to salvation. And those of you who are born again in this room, at one time, you experienced the power of illumination on your mind. You changed the way you were thinking. It's almost as if you woke up. It's like somebody came and turned on the lights as you were hearing about Jesus and the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus. The lights came on. It was a supernatural work. It wasn't the smartness or the cuteness of the preacher or the teacher or your friend. It wasn't the words of the messengers, the words themselves about Jesus and the gospel. There was a true light. There was the true light which coming into the world, Christmas, enlightens every man. This is the same message for today as it was on that Christmas morning. The darkness and the closed minds of the world of people around us who do not know Jesus, they can be enlightened, but their minds are dark. John said, 1 John 5:20, I've given it here to you. He wrote these words to Christians, but notice how important each of these words, we know. See, it's a mind word. We have knowledge. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Knowledge and understanding. The two great words of the book of Proverbs. Oh, for us to gain an understanding. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge, knowing God, knowing His ways, knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. For what reason? So that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the process of growing in your spiritual life, my friend. You grow in your spiritual life by coming, first of all, having your mind enlightened. Having the light turned on in your mind. Illumination leads to salvation. It is this idea. It happened to me. It happened to you. I'll describe my testimony. 9 years old. You see, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot understand it nor explain this mystery. But while I was sitting there another Sunday, growing up in a Baptist church, I went all the time. And I'm grateful that I had that background. But at 9, that particular Sunday, it happened to me at church. It can happen to you in other places. I was there, and it seemed that the pastor was speaking about Jesus in a way I'd never thought about, and it was as if I woke up 9 years old and I thought, I must be saved. I'm going to go to hell. I must be saved. I must ask Jesus to forgive me because I've been a liar to my parents. I need to be saved. I need to come to Jesus because I've been a thief. You see, the light came on. All of a sudden, I heard about Jesus in a different way. It wasn't as if the preacher had stood up there and said, Mike, you're a thief. Mike, you're a liar. Mike, you're a bad 9-year-old sinful boy. No, but the light came on. All of a sudden, something supernatural happened. I'm no different from any of you in this room. I'm the same as you. We're all everyday people. But the supernatural work of God, the Holy Spirit, from the words of God, from the gospel of God and His work, came to my mind and the light came and I woke up and said, I must be saved. I'm going to go to hell if I don't get saved. Illumination leads to salvation. Jesus says, it says of Jesus in Luke 24:45, then He opened their minds. I want you to mark this now. No matter how smart you may be, no matter how long you've been around religious things in the Bible, He opens. The Lord Jesus opens minds by the work of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, Jesus supernaturally opens the mind to understand God's Word. Now, these are very close, but they're not the same. Truth about God, He came into the world, and now notice He comes enlightening every man. This word, enlightenment, means to shine or to illuminate. That's what the word is. Your Bible may read, there was the true light which coming into the world lights every man. Illumination leads to salvation, but illumination also leads to understanding. This is on the spiritual side for the Christian. Go back to Luke 24:45. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Oh, the magnificent. Before I say this, let me describe this supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that goes on all the time. You know, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John 3, just over two chapters, if you have your Bible still open, He's talking to him about being born again. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then He says something very interesting in verse 8. He says, the wind, this is the Lord Jesus. He's talking about this mystery of being saved. He says, the wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. So Pastor Mike, how does this happen that we're illuminated? Jesus says you don't know. It's a mystery. It's the supernatural mystery of this. When the Word of God is taught, preached, and shared, when we tell people about Jesus who died for our sins, was buried, was raised the third day, and is coming again, something happens in some people's lives. The light comes. You don't know how it works. We don't understand. Listen, you can't manipulate the Holy Spirit for your own purposes, friend. Don't try. Some of us try. Well, you cannot do it. The sovereign Holy Spirit of God will move and choose to do what He wants to do. And if you have an illuminated mind and you have seen and experienced, I'm describing it this way. You pick up your Bible and you say, Lord, I'm going to hear Your Word now. I'm going to read Your Word. Help me understand it. And all of a sudden, a phrase here, a word here, a truth here. And you may have read those words over and over in your life, and they come alive for you. That isn't because you're smart. That's because the Holy Spirit is teaching you. You see, the new covenant promises. Let me just read part of it. This is God's promise to those of us who are born again under the new covenant. I will put My laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. A while back, Pat and I went over with some of our church members, and we decided to do just in a neighborhood, we wanted to do a small evangelistic outreach to see if we could share the gospel with some folks. Pat and I, through the years, have used a method that's very simple. It's an easy way to do it. We simply ask people if they'd like to meet with us and read the Bible with us. I love our Gideons who are here. They get this. Our Gideons understand what I'm talking about here. It's not the teacher. It's not the preacher. It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that does the work. So we went over to Kingston Springs and did this Bible study for 6 weeks. And all we did was we read the Gospel of John. And it was a wonderful experience. Now, this is shocking to some of you, I know. I'm not talking about going to Africa, even though it's important for missionaries to go, and we go, or India, or wherever. Those are important things. Well, I was in Kingston Springs, and did you know some of those people didn't even have a Bible? What? Yes, they didn't have a Bible. Did you know some of those people who came had never heard of John? And so we read. We had pizza, and we visited, and we had fun, and then all we did was read the Bible. No teaching, no commenting, no explanations. We just read it. And then the questions that came out, we just talked about their questions. Oh, by the time we got to John 3, what do you mean you have to be born again? Some of them had never heard this. I'm talking about Kingston Springs. I think it's in the same zip code, isn't it? 3704, what? Just right over there. What does this mean? Some said. Others weren't that interested. Some read these words and all of a sudden their mind, it was shocking to them. So what does this mean? What does it mean that Jesus would say, I have to be born again? This is an example. This is an example of how illumination leads to salvation. And the only way it comes is not when you debate your friend, try to tell them how smart you are about God and all these other things. It's when the Bible is declared and read, and it's when the gospel is shared that illumination starts to come in people's lives. That's what we're to do. That's what we're to do. So we witnessed that and had the opportunity to talk to some about knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Illumination leads to salvation for all of us who are saved in this room. Illumination, Holy Spirit illumination, leads to understanding of God's Word. And this leads me to the third thing I want you to see here. We read in John chapter 1:9, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He, that is Jesus, was in the world. He came, he was born. We're celebrating it at Christmas. He was born in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. It's a mind word. I want you to see in the third place that Jesus Christ supernaturally opens minds to spiritual things. It's interesting when people have trouble, even when they're not a Christian, they'll say, well, why is God doing this? Why would God permit this to happen? Why would God allow such a thing to go on? They want spiritual understanding, but they don't know what to do. Their minds are closed. They're rebellious toward God. They're not interested in following God. But oh, how they wish to understand the spiritual. Paul said such things as this to Christians. Set your mind on things above. Paul said such things as this. We look at things that are not seen rather than things that are seen. This is the normal Christian life I'm talking about. You see, illumination brings salvation. Illumination from the Holy Spirit brings understanding. But then we come to this very, very important, hugely important truth. That the only way we understand why God does what he does, the spiritual way of things in the world, is by the same illumination. So we read in 2 Corinthians 4, it's there on the screen, I hope you'll mark it in your Bibles. It's familiar to some of you. Paul's talking about his ministry of going and preaching and sharing the gospel. I'm like many of the teachers in our room who've taught for many years. Many of us have shared the gospel and taught the gospel because it's part of our gift and what we do for the church, and we've witnessed through all of our lives people respond to teaching and preaching in all kinds of different ways. Some sleep. Some hear it, but are very busy with a lot of things in their life. But others, it seems like they hang on every word. And no teacher, no preacher is that good. And all of a sudden, coming from that time of being in the Word of God, they come to understand spiritual things better. Well, Paul describes preaching to people who have closed minds. Why did Jesus have to enlighten every mind? Because mankind, men and women, everyone born into this world is born naturally into this world and doesn't care a thing about God, only about themselves. Paul says, even if our gospel is veiled, you know what a veil is? Veil is something you put between your eyes and the things you see. Something blocking your vision. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Oh, those who do not know Jesus are perishing. In whose case the God of the world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. When you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you do not believe by faith, your mind is blinded so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And then we read again verse 6, what we read last week. For God said, light shall shine out of darkness. He is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Son of God. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, a natural man, you see, that's the way we're all born into this world. A natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them. As much as I want to help somebody come to be saved, unless the Holy Spirit of God, who blows like the wind as he wills in his sovereignty, as he opens the hearts and minds of those to whom we share the gospel, our family, our friends, unless someone experiences illumination, they cannot be saved. Here's another way I would say it to you. Divine light brings spiritual sight. You'll never see the spiritual world unless you're born again. You'll never understand why God permits what he permits in this world. You see, the lost man or woman doesn't understand the things of the Word of God. They have blinded minds. They don't believe. The lost man cannot believe in Jesus. His mind is darkened. Jesus said the same thing. I shared it with you a couple of weeks ago. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. I don't want to come into the light. I like being in the dark. This is the mystery of God's work in the lives of people all around us. Some experience and respond to the light. Others love the darkness and live in peril of hell. So what's the application for us today? Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, I begin by saying this to you. Rejoice. Thank God that you have an enlightened mind. Can anybody say amen? Oh, what a gift you have of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life to help you understand these words. In fact, I wasn't going to do this, but I do need to say it to you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually understood. He says above that, if we have the Spirit of God, we're taught by not by human words, but by those of the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. You can go read this on your own, 1 Corinthians 2:13. I'm standing before you today talking about spiritual thoughts that combine to spiritual words. And some who are here today cannot understand the spiritual world because you're not born again. You see it all from the natural view. You see it from the earthly view. You don't see it because it has not been revealed to you. That's why I say to some of you who are here, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If the light has come, if the light is shining on your mind and heart and exposing to you your sin, your hypocrisy, your pride, your arrogance, your unwillingness to follow God, your mistreatment of others, if He is shining the light of truth upon your mind and you will not receive it because you love your darkness, remember, friend, you stand judged already. You must be saved. Don't resist the light. Run to the light. Run to the light. Jesus said, the one who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought by God. Finally, maybe we pray this prayer more often. We used to sing it as an old hymn, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things out of your law." Every time you get before the Lord in prayer and you're starting to read your Bible, we're going to be starting our Bible reading for a new year. I'll say more about it next week, reading the Bible together, one chapter a day. When you sit down and you prepare to read as a born-again believer, you confess your sin, you ask the Holy Spirit, "Oh Lord, help me understand what I'm about to read. Open my eyes. Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things from your law." The Holy Spirit does His supernatural work in ways we do not understand, but they're tied to these words. And these words tell us of an event we did not get to see with our eyes, but many did. And that is the coming of Jesus Christ our Lord at Christmas. As John says to us, and I'll read this in close, "There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man." Divine light brings spiritual sight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the truth that John has shared with us today. Lord, we are so thankful for the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit to show us Jesus, to show us the truth of our sin, to show us that we must be saved. Oh, thank you, Lord, for bringing the light and enlightening us, and thank you, Lord, for helping us that we might believe on you and trust you as Savior. I pray for some who are here today who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The light is shining on their minds even now. They know they need to change their life. Give them the courage to say, "I must believe on Jesus. I must confess my sin. I must be saved." Help them to come into the light, the divine light that Jesus brings. May it give them spiritual sight. We pray for others who are here today who are followers of Jesus, who need to understand what it is you're doing in their life. Oh, may they understand that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and help them to know and understand what you're doing in their lives.